Hi, I'm Natasha Pinto, Senior Vice President of Operations at DKI Canada, and you're listening to Across the Street, Across the Country.
First impressions are very, very important because you kind of try to gauge what type of people they are. How informed do they want to be throughout the process? And you kind of leave it up to them.
If he has ever spoken the word flustered, it probably was not in reference to himself. The young-ish owner of DKIER Global radiates a calm, calculated, easygoing aura. Characteristics that, no doubt, stand him in good measure when dealing with property disasters and bringing them back to life for their owners. On today's episode, we travel to Sudbury, Ontario to meet with Jason Godette to learn what drew him to property restoration and to Canada's leader in the industry, and why his hometown is his forever home. I'm Denis Grignon, your host of this program. It's called Across the Street, Across the Country.
It's about 8:15 and already three of DKIER Global's trucks have pulled out and headed to job sites, I can only assume. Jason's been up for the last 3 hours, been to the gym, and now here.
It's a gray, overcast day when I pull into the DKIER Global headquarters, about 2 kilometers from Sudbury's downtown. I've only ever spoken to its owner, Jason Godette, on the phone. And this is what struck me during that call a few days prior. It wasn't just a formal, let's set up an interview time kind of call. It was a conversation, like the one you have when you're catching up with someone you hadn't spoken to in a long time. But I'd never actually met Jason before. When we do meet in person for the first time, yeah, it's clear that he's a guy who heads to the gym long before most of us are out of bed. Jason is lithe and fit, and the opposite of that brusque nature that many business owners emanate.
How are you?
Jason?
Yes.
Hey, nice to meet
you. Nice to meet you.
Is this the north or the near north? I don't want to be insulting to the people who think
it's
home.
It's funny because, like, you know, it's considered Northern Ontario, and I'm just like, you can drive 10 hours north of here and still be in Ontario.
Well, I keep thinking people from Calgary.
It's easy to like Jason when you first meet him. I mean, on his office wall, there's a framed picture of the best hockey team ever.
Yeah, I'm a Habs fan. I've been a goalie. I was a goalie for a long time.
So you too?
Patrick Waugh was my guy.
Yeah.
And now Carey Price, you know, he's arguably.
And right at the edge of his desk, for everyone to see, there's a playful statue of Dwight Schrute from arguably the best TV show ever, The Office.
Dwight Schrute, yeah. Fan of the show?
Oh, huge.
It's it's a work of art, that show, I tell you. Like, it's borderline genius.
There was no tearing rush to get down to the business of an interview. And when we did, it was really more of a casual, thoughtful conversation. We start out with Jason explaining what makes Sudbury, where his business is, where his home is, what makes it special.
Obviously, we're tons of lakes and stuff around here, right? Which is fairly unique to any other area, really, in Ontario. Especially as the more you get south, you really don't get like that. Like, you know, we have, I think, like 500 lakes surrounding the area.
There are certain areas in Canada where, you know, a lot of the people who were in your industry, it's fire season. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're on the coast. Here come the hurricanes.
Yeah.
And when I think of the north and the near north, I think of a lot of snow.
So we get claims that, you know, people in Southern Ontario have never heard of, right? Like, I've had to explain what ice damming is to some adjusters.
Please explain that to me.
So ice damming happens when there's a buildup of snow and ice on your roof, and it actually causes a dam. So when the snow melts, it's not allowing it to fall off of the roof like it typically would. It actually backs up your shingles. So I've had to explain that to adjusters, saying this is what's happening, and it's typically a covered loss. And they just have no clue what I'm talking about.
That's got to be a bit frustrating when you're trying to paint that picture for them.
It is. It's very frustrating. And they still, like, typically don't understand because, you know, whether they're green, whether they haven't been in the industry long enough, but they just can't wrap their head around it. And, you know, they'll have to usually go to their higher ups, or sometimes they'll deny the claim, and then the homeowner will fight for it and saying, well, you know, this shouldn't be a denial. This is something that happens up here often, and it gets escalated, and they come back and say, oh, sorry, this is a covered loss. So
I know you just got back from Toronto, which is only about 4.5 hours drive away. Right. But when you think of situations like the one you just described, how far away does that part of Ontario, with a lot of the decision makers, how far away does that feel sometimes?
It seems like we're kind of left behind, we're forgotten about quite often. And we're really, again, like you said, not that far. Weather's a big thing, because Toronto doesn't get the snow that we get, even though we're only 4 hours north. We'll have to schedule stuff for the spring sometimes. We'll get a job midwinter that is just not doable to do in the winter. We have to schedule it for the spring. And we'll get follow-ups from adjusters in like early April sometimes, saying, when can you start? We're like, we still got 1.5 feet of snow on the ground. Like, we're nowhere near starting this, right? Where they just don't have that. They got green grass year-round.
I guess there could be an advantage in that the people who need the work done, they get it.
That's the advantage for sure, is the people that live here are understanding, right?
I get the sense that people up here, they're not afraid of winter. They're not babies. They get it. They don't run into the shelters of subways and malls.
You'd be surprised with the amount of people that live up here that complain about the winters. And, you know, I tell them there's options out there. You can leave to somewhere much warmer. As far as I'm concerned, you just got to embrace it. Embrace the cold and just enjoy it. I enjoy all seasons. So in the summertime, I'm always looking forward to fall. In the fall, I'm always looking forward to winter. In the winter, I'm always looking forward to spring, because winter's a long, it's a long stretch, right? So if you're there dreading it, you're going to be a miserable person.
If I had known you 15, 20 years ago, would I be surprised at what you're doing now?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I don't think so. I worked for an individual years ago, and I got hired as a laborer, just worked on the tools and kind of worked my way up to it, to a project manager.
Was there a moment when you thought, I think this is it? This is what I
always
want to
enjoyed
do.
It because, you know, we're there for people when they need us, right? And some people, you know, it feels good when you're, you know, there's somebody that's dealing with a water damage or a fire, and you can kind of restore them to back to normality, really. Kind of back to where they were. So it's very rewarding.
Do you remember that first time you did it as a project manager, when you were able to swing the door open to a customer and say, here you go?
Yeah, I do. There's been many times where, you know, they've been in tears before and after, during, you know, it's a roller coaster of emotion, and you're dealing with all different types of people that have a really difficult time handling a loss like this. And some people, on the other hand, really don't really care. You know, some people, they'll give me a key and just say, call me when it's done. I don't really care what you're doing in the interim. Just call me when it's done. I've seen it all, where nothing surprises me anymore.
How do you manage this then, Jason? Because your job is a physical job, but you're dealing with these people.
Yeah, there's definitely an emotional aspect to it. And you're dealing with all types. It's very, very difficult to manage. First impressions are very, very important, because you kind of try to gauge what type of people they are. Typically ask them a lot of questions, how informed do they want to be throughout the process? And you kind of leave it up to them.
Tell me about that, though, those two different kinds of customers, the one that wants to be informed and the one that doesn't, and how you still have to create that boundary of, okay, I know they want to know the process, but maybe they don't want to know it all.
Sure. Like, I mean, typically what I'll do is I'll set out a schedule for them. I'll be pretty transparent. This is what our game plan is. It's never set in stone. Things change.
Tell me about the decision you came to actually managing people and doing what you're doing now versus when you were just the guy who could come in and do the work as a tradesperson, because it's a big leap to go from being managed to now managing.
Like, I mean, it was an opportunity that I had that I jumped on, and definitely something I enjoyed doing more. Pretty well knew right away that I wanted to do more. You know, like, I mean, you can stay where you are and continue doing what you're doing. The good thing about being on the tools is you clock out at 5 and you don't really think about work after work, you know. We're doing what you're doing now, your mind's always going, always.
How do you get it to wind down even a little bit? Maybe not stop, but given that, you know, you mentioned, you know, you've got a couple of kids, you've got a family. That's so right. How do you get it to kind of wind down when you can, the tools are away, but boy, the tools in your mind are still running.
Some days you can, some days you can't. That's the reality of it. You know, some days on hectic days, you come home and it just doesn't stop.
You started this business about 5 years ago. What do you think has been the biggest learning curve that you had to adjust, adapt to?
So I knew the industry really well. Things, you know, went fairly smooth. Hiring has still been our biggest hurdle and continues to be our biggest hurdle from day one. It's been our biggest hurdle for sure.
How do you meet that challenge up here to fill those holes?
It's tough because, you know, typically when I come up with, when there's a problem that arises, you sit down, you figure out what the solution is and you overcome it. With hiring, I don't know what that answer is. You know, that's the most difficult and frustrating part. We've had some pretty good luck with just, you know, some of the relationships that we have with some of our other sub trades, like plumbers, electricians. You know, we just put feelers out there, letting them know, you know, what we have to offer. Do they know anybody looking for work? Because at the end of the day, if there's any good carpenters out there or, you know, trim guys, whatever it may be, they're not out there printing their resume and dropping off resumes looking for a job.
They're whispering in the wind.
They're basically, you know, they know where they're going to be going, or they know who's hiring. And so word of mouth is basically the way to go for trying to hire anyways. The companies that we're doing work for are also dealing with the same thing. So they're a little bit more understanding as opposed to somebody that is, you know, not dealing with staffing issues and you're trying to tell them that, hey, you know, I'm having a staffing issue here. They typically wouldn't care. But the fact that they're dealing with the same issue, they're a little bit more understanding.
Are you finding customers are understanding this now, or are they still like, hey, I don't care. It's your problem.
Depending on the industry they work in, I find makes a big difference. So most people, for the most part, are pretty understanding. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if they got a water damage, that they don't really care. They just, hey, I need somebody here now, and that's something that we have to jump on.
Do you ever long for those days when you could not have to be behind this desk and you're just out there working the tools, as you said?
No. I wouldn't go back. And I'm having to, you know, strap on my boots sometimes and get my hands dirty when I have to, right?
What's that like when you do that, when you do revisit that part of your world?
It's cool. Like, I mean, I enjoy it. I definitely do enjoy it. But, you know, when I'm doing that, I'm getting backlogged here in the office. So it's bittersweet.
On those days when you're driving maybe through a snowstorm, you're maybe short-staffed, maybe you're having to strap on your boots, you're having to drive through the snow to get to a job to help out, and you got to come home. What do you tell yourself to keep at it, to not just go, that's it, I'm out?
It's another good question. I don't know. I've never been one of a quitter. I've never, you know, I enjoy the grind. I enjoy being busy versus sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. You know, I've been on both sides of things, and this industry it's feast or famine. So you take what you can get and you just roll with it. I'm hoping that at some point that we can have some staff members that can kind of take over what I'm doing.
But when you're out in the bush and you're out of cell service, but you've somehow managed to get satellite service, what's it like when you're in the bush, you're hunting, you're with your buddies, and then you hear that beep, you get that text, even before you look at it, what's going through your mind?
Like, I mean, it's expected from me. Like I said, I've been doing it for so long. They can't grasp the idea of, hey, you know, I gotta head back to town. I gotta go, whether it's for a couple hours, whether it's for a couple days, they just can't comprehend it, you know, because again, they're the type that clock out at 5 and... This is the industry that I signed up for, right? Like it's not a surprise. It's something that I knew coming into it. So
you don't strike me as somebody who gripes ever.
I'm a pretty positive guy, you know? Yeah. I kind of built our business on having good culture. You know what I mean? I always wanted to have kind of like a family, not a family business because I don't have family in the business. I just somewhere that people enjoy to come. And, you know, I have an open door policy. Obviously, any issues that they have, they can talk to me about it. So that's definitely rewarding too.
If I pulled aside one of your staff members right now and said, look, this is just between me and you, what's Jason like? What do you think they'd tell me?
I would encourage that, actually. that's a good podcaster for you. I think you would hear nothing but good things. I would like to think so.
That was part one of my conversation, the sit-down portion, with Jason Gaudette, owner-operator of DKIER Global in Sudbury. DKIER Global, like every DKI member across Canada, provides services to insurance, commercial, and residential clients from coast to coast. Whether it's an emergency response, water damage mitigation, fire and contents cleaning, mold remediation, or complete reconstruction, DKI members are available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. If you're ever in need of emergency assistance, the number is 1-855-DKI-TODAY. That is 1-855-354-2329. Okay, here's part two of my conversation with Jason as he tours me through the DKIER Global Workshop and Storage Facility. But it's more than just a tour, really. This was also an opportunity for Jason to open up and further reflect on his job and how it plays a role in his life.
So we just recently built that mezzanine there for some additional storage because we're kind of outgrowing the place a little bit.
Yeah.
So the place is a little bit of a cluster right now, but it's getting there.
When you say outgrowing it, what does that mean?
We just need more room. Like, I mean,
are you thinking bigger next?
Like, we've signed another 3-year lease here. Yeah. So, like, I mean, that was one of the determining factors on investing into this additional mezzanine here, because 3 years is a long time, right? You don't know what next year brings, right? You can you know, base things on last year. You know, we've had multiple good years, and you don't know what next year brings.
More ice dams, I guess.
More ice dams, likely. If I'm a betting guy, more ice dams.
We do have quite a bit of equipment out right now.
Oh, everything's really tidy, and I feel like everything almost should have a number in front of it. There we go. There's the numbers.
Everything is numbered, yeah. So typically, like I said, things are a little bit, they're not 100% in place right now, but I can typically come in here, and I can see what's missing. So if everything, you know, they're claiming that everything's signed back in, I can come in here and say, no, you're missing two air movers, or you're missing a dehumidifier. That's kind of the way things are set up here.
Yeah, no, this is very tidy. And I guess, how important is that given what you do, the tidiness?
Extremely important. Well, because if you have a messy job site, that's kind of what you're allowing to have done, get done on the job site, in the vans. Like, I mean, you know, just set that standard right from the get-go and, you know, have it tidy. And a messy job site, a messy van is a messy mind, I find. You know what I mean? Again, this is just recently. We're not even done building this yet. So all of this was essentially moved out of here into our warehouse here, so we can construct this.
How big is your team right now? How many people do you have working?
12 staff total.
And they're out pretty much every day.
Yeah. So we got four in the office. Well, we sub out quite a bit of our work too. Like, we sub out, I would say, probably about 40% of what we get. Okay. Whether it's to flooring guys, I got multiple subs that do complete repairs for me. We can definitely use more, for sure. So yeah, up there you can see that I just have the studs up. I got to drywall that and seal that off. That's going to be kind of our storage area where we store some of the contents.
I see empty studs here.
Yeah.
What do you see?
I mean, ideally it should have been done by now. I'm not going to lie. But ideally, you know, in the next week or so, that'll be complete, drywalled. And we bring stuff back here. We clean it, we store it. And because this isn't a sealed room, we have, you know, sometimes the guys are cutting in here, they're painting, they're, you know, vehicles are running. We're having to re-clean that stuff before it gets returned. So definitely very important that we have a sealed,
and it'll be sealed ice, off.
Isolated room that, you know, once it's clean, it's there until it's ready to get returned back to the home.
Okay, Jason, well, now I can ask you this now that we're in here. When you, maybe at the end of the day, when you're just, you know, tidying up and you're there like you are now, leaning over to pick something up, and this is your place, and you've had a couple of really successful projects and you're walking through here, and you can take a moment to breathe it in. To know that this is all yours, well, that's got to be pretty cool.
So that's something that I talked to my wife about just recently, and I said, like, at what point can I just sit back and kind of enjoy things? I don't know if it's a personality thing, but I feel like it's just not enough. I don't know.
You'll get there.
I'll get there, yeah. But I just, like, I want those happy moments. I want those, you know, those attaboy moments, I guess you can call them. Because no matter what, you know, bidding on stuff and, you know, like, stuff that I really want, I'll bid aggressively. I'll get a call, you know, the job's been awarded to you, and I just, what's next? That's bittersweet too, because, you know, I wanna enjoy things sometimes, but I just, yeah.
Well, thanks for your time. And you know what? I'm going to leave you with one. Attaboy, Jason.
I appreciate that.
You say, I know, I'll always find something to do. One day, you'll know.
Yeah, attaboy, Jason. You earned it. And you're always earning it. My thanks to Jason Godet of DKIER Global in Sudbury. Thanks also to Looking for Heather and to Close Kicks for providing our opening and closing themes, and to Graham Lindsay for those musical bridges. This show is a production of DKI, Canada's leader in property restoration, which contributes to creating a better future through environmental protection and social responsibility. Focused on leaving things better than DKI found them, DKI is committed to using environmentally sustainable cleaning products and also mitigating risk in environmentally sustainable ways. We love getting your feedback and your story ideas. Please reach out to us at the DKI Canada Facebook page. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and to rate us and to tell others about us. Across the Street, Across the Country is written, produced, and hosted by me, Denis Grignon. We're back soon with a brand new episode. Stay safe.
What's your last name, Mike?
Mike Madden.
Without looking at him, and we were just two guys on a hockey bench or in a hockey arena. So what's your boss like? What would you say?
He's a pretty awesome guy. Good, easy going. Yeah, even tempered. Good guy to work with. Good guy to work for. Running high.